Hey everyone, welcome to the Revivalist Family Podcast, where we discuss what God's doing on college campuses and the need for prayer, family, and revival. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Revivalist Family Podcast. I'm here today with Angela Lamb.
Hey guys.
Carol Reynolds.
Ooh.
Daniel Grenz.
What's up?
We're going to talk about a fun subject today, and we want to dive into why college, what's the significance of going to college, especially in this moment, this COVID-19 time where campuses have been closed, most semesters were finished online or even truncated short, and high school seniors, I mean, like 4 million high school seniors graduating, not knowing if they can actually go to college in the fall. Not knowing if dorms would be open, if they'll be do class in person, or if they're just going to be doing class at home and spending, you know, $30,000, $50,000 to do an online home education. So this is a very real and relevant topic. And we want to begin with our fun panel, group of awesome, you know, 30-some-odd, 40-some-odd leaders, and talking about their own college experience and why it was significant and how it shaped who they were and who they became. So, Angela, I volunteer you to go first.
Yay. All right. Well, I didn't have a choice. I had to go to college. It just wasn't an option. And I didn't want to. As a youth, I'd started getting into missions. And so every summer I was going to another country and traveling and just loving it. Out of high school, I started working for a missions organization. And it was awesome. But in the back of my mind, I always knew it was expected for me to go to university. So after I finished my work there, I came back and started going to school, and I hated it because I just wanted to go be a missionary. Like, missionaries don't need degrees. They just need love and willingness to give and die and serve in any way they can. You know, you don't need a degree for that. But it was very expected through just where I came from, my family culture. And so I felt like I needed to honor my parents and do what I had to do. So I went to university and I chose the fastest route and just tried to trudge through it. But multiple times I tried to quit. I just wasn't into it. I wasn't enjoying what I was studying because I chose the fastest route. I didn't choose something I was interested in. And I remember going to a mentor and saying, gosh, God doesn't care if I have a degree or not. Like, the field doesn't care if I have a degree or not, the mission field or whoever I'd be working with. Why do I have to do this? And she was really encouraging and honest. And she was like, Angela, what God is building through you in maturity by being a steady student, by taking responsibility for what's expected of you as a student and how you use your time, you manage your time, you set priorities, you tackle projects and tasks, that is building you into who you need to be for your future, regardless of if you use your degree or not.
Good word. So good.
That character is a requirement to be a steady, successful adult. So
that's so real.
I forced myself to finish.
Wow.
But
I mean,
that
no
helped
one...
me get over the finish line towards the end.
No, I appreciate her wisdom because, I mean, how many students love papers and quizzes and exams, you know,
and but there really classes.
Is this rite of passage where you're learning to do things that you don't feel like doing and things that are hard and just the discipline of dying to self, choosing to be faithful. Mm-hmm. I mean, the maturity that you learn in that is massive.
Totally.
Yeah. For me, I went to a school about 45 minutes out called Bentley University. And I, like Angela, I don't think there was another choice. I grew up with Asian Chinese parents who were immigrants. And so the fact that I wouldn't go to college was unfathomable. And so for me, I chose Bentley, and it was a more business school. And I thought business was really general. I could do whatever I want. But I get there and it's actually really specific. It's like you have to choose real majors, like accounting and like economics.
Yeah.
Finance.
What did you choose?
So I chose what I thought would be the most creative of them. So I chose like corporate communications, like PR, and minored in English, you know? But it was hard. I am grateful now because I had some of the where I came into myself in college, but it was also such a struggle. I mean, I had just gotten saved in high school, went to college, lived on the floor where girls partied, so I partied. And so it was just this pendulum swing of like partying on Saturday, feeling empty on Sunday. But at the same time, I encountered the Lord in really profound ways also in college. And so actually like 2 years in, it's being dramatic, I like wrote my secular friends like, I have found Jesus. We can't be friends anymore. And it was just awkward. I just didn't walk that out well. But I look back and it was a hard season where I learned things the hard way. I learned the right way by doing the wrong thing first. And so it was challenging, but the Lord did meet me in it. I end up, you know, you guys know this, but I end up getting pregnant a month before graduating college. So it was just a 4-year roller coaster, but the Lord so met me even the moment I found out I was having my son. And so yay, college.
Yay, college.
Yes. I mean, but what you're talking about, I mean, for all the Christian parents out there, one of the big wrestles is, do we send our kids to a Christian college or to a secular college, you know? Because there's opportunities that you may get at secular college, but there's also so many other opportunities mm-hmm. that they don't want. I mean, the parent doesn't want their kids like parties, like influence. And not that you can't get that at a Christian college, mm-hmm. but you know, hopefully there's less.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my experience was at a Christian college. So very similar to you guys, it was just kind of a given, you know, throughout high school, junior year of high school, you're starting to apply to colleges. And I was looking between a few different Christian schools and ended up going to University of Sioux Falls. And I think what you said is really true, that it's kind of this rite of passage where you learn. One of the main things that I learned in college was how to make decisions, primarily because I didn't make great decisions. But for me, I went into college knowing I'm called into ministry, knowing I'm called to the nations, to missions. And so I did a religious studies degree thinking, well, that's going to prepare me, which it
does not.
It didn't. And so actually, funny story, my freshman year, I think this was like beginning of the second semester, me and some friends went to the movie A Beautiful Mind, Russell Crowe. Really good movie. And I walk out of that movie with the resolution in my heart, I'm going to study math.
Wow.
And so the next day, the next day I changed my major.
Wow.
To math.
Who knew?
And thank you, Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, gotcha.
So then I ended up adding computer science and finished. But I think for me, the wrestle was I knew what was in my heart to do in terms of missions. And at 18, 19, 20, I felt like I'm ready for this. Looking back, I obviously wasn't. And so similar to you, Angela, there was times where like I tried to quit. I went to China after my sophomore year and tried to not go back. And everybody was like, go back, finish your degree. And so I went back, finished as quick as I could, graduated after 3.5 years. And looking back, it's like, man, there was such significant formation that God was doing that had I been more aware of, I think I could have embraced it more and received more from it. But still, it was such a valuable season of becoming who I am, mm-hmm. primarily through the struggle, through
the struggle's real,
messing up, through relationship issues with people on camp. Like, yeah, it was a roller coaster, like you said, Carol.
It really is the first time, you know, whether you come from a Christian family or not, that you're away from home, mm-hmm. you're really making decisions on your own and learning consequences. I mean, there's nothing like that moment, 18 and 22, where you're, you know, for better or for worse, you're making decisions and you're making good ones with good consequences or bad ones and not so good consequences. And I know for me, unlike you guys, I was the first in my family to go to college. It was, I mean, somewhat expected, but I also was like a trendsetter in my family. We're immigrant family. Mm. And I think for me, going to college, I had no aspirations in terms of missionary or ministry. I wasn't a believer.
Yeah.
And so for me, I just wanted to be popular, make money, get a degree, get a good job, you know, which is probably many, many people out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that you guys came in with vision for missions and ministry. But I kind of was aimless. I kind of went to college saying, hey, who are my friends? Where can I belong? Mm-hmm. Where can I really be someone and be liked and have fun and go to parties? And obviously getting saved, you know, I shared it in a previous episode, but that was pivotal for me. But those next couple years for me was really figuring out, like, the question I had was, who am I? That was the big question. You know, I had it a little bit before, but as a Christian on a campus, 19, 20, 21, I'm like, who am I? What am I made to do? Where am I going? Yeah. That was my big question. Mm-hmm. And I had so much angst over it. You know, I had this wrestle between, you know, should I major in this or that? I had this iteration like Daniel. I started out in computer science and applied math and then got saved. And my desire to sit in front of a computer 8 hours a day really waned. And then towards the end of college, I realized I had this desire to go into ministry and I wanted to study the Bible. It sounds so cool to get to study the Bible in class, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I changed my major too. I didn't watch movie change my major, but I decided it'd be fun to study the Bible. So I'm like, let's do religious studies. And then I realized most of the teachers aren't really Christians. And
how much Bible study did you get in there?
Yeah. I did flunk a class because I wrote that Jesus was Lord on my paper.
Wow.
The professor didn't really think that was a really credible statement.
Wow. Should have stuck with math.
No, I'm really good, actually. I'm grateful. But I know the wrestle was, you know, who am I? What am I made to do? And you know, looking back, I think the question is a valid question, but I don't know if you really will get it answered in those 4 years of college.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I think the wrestle is a relevant wrestle. And I felt like it wasn't until I was, you know, way out of college that the question really started to settle. You know, the big answer is, yes, I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm loved. But the bigger ones of calling and where am I going in life? And there's so much pressure we feel to have the answer when we're 18 and picking a major.
Right.
There's also so many options. It's so hard because you're like, you could kind of choose anything based on what you study and mm-hmm. where you're going. And that's also very confusing.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you could choose anything and you don't really have this straight way to go.
I think looking back, it's like you said, Ty, we wrestle with this question, who am I? I think every one of us has gone there and
have gone and are going.
And are still in the journey. But looking back, it's like the experience of college, even though you don't come out of it with the answer, mm-hmm. is such a crucial part of the journey.
For sure.
Because of the learning that you get outside of the classroom. I think everybody who's graduated, most people would say the greater, deeper formation happened through the experiences, through mm-hmm. the relationships, mm-hmm. through mm-hmm. the wrestles, through the heartbreaks, through all of these things that 99% happen outside of the classroom. Yes. And so even though you don't come out with the answer, you come out further in the journey or with pieces of experience that are vital towards building mm-hmm. onto the
answer.
And
I think, you know, by the time you finish school or by the time you get a real job, right, you don't have the luxury and the time to have this four-year window to just figure yourself out, to figure out who you are and your interests. That if you could afford the college path, and I would love to hit them more, you don't have to go to an expensive school.
Yeah,
I wish I knew that. I'm still paying for it, you know, that you could have that four-year college experience more affordable.
Yeah.
You know, that I think it's just so beneficial to have that window where you don't have to report to a 9-to-5. You don't have kids to feed yet. To just learn, to make friends.
Which I think, speaks to an important point, because I don't think everybody has to go to college, mm-hmm. but I think there's value in looking at a season, a window of time where you're okay with the journey, mm-hmm. not necessarily landing you somewhere like you might think right away, you know, whether mm-hmm. that's taking a gap year or going and serving with an organization for a season, the expectation that right out of high school, I'm going to land where I need to be is not helpful.
Yeah.
Totally.
But speaking of gap year, I think that'd be a great future conversation, is talk about gap year. So that's a little sidebar for us.
It is a fun idea, but it also didn't help me. It kind of because I tasted missions for two years after high school and then went to university, that was my hurdle.
That's real.
I know I could do it right out of high school, so why am I here?
Mm-hmm. When I reflect back on college and think about, now 20 years later, 15% of what I learned was in the classroom. In my college experience. Right. Mm-hmm. 85% was what happens in and around that season. And when I look back on my 4 years at college, we even talked about this beforehand, but some of us lived on campus. Angela, you went to a Christian college that was accelerated, that was not on campus, right?
I did 2 years of community college and then the Christian college because I couldn't afford the fancy school. Mm-hmm. That's all I could afford, and I couldn't afford to live on campus.
That's real life. And I know for me, I went to Berkeley and lived on campus and had this, very holistic experience. And when I look back, there's only a few seasons where I did life pursuing Jesus, doing the community shared life together, and doing the service ministry life together, where you're praying together, playing together, and slaying together, so to speak. You're welcome.
You're so cool.
but this holistic experience where you get to do life with a group of people in community, in family, and you're going somewhere together. You're going somewhere in pursuit of the Lord, in prayer, in Bible study, in dreaming together. And then you're going somewhere, in the vulnerable, in the struggle, in the celebration, building community and family. And then you're going out together and loving the lost and serving your campus and discipling young believers and really discovering this holistic Christianity. And when you graduate, it's so bizarre because, you do campus ministry there, you're involved in these deep communities where you get to be empowered to be a leader and to dream and to create and reach your campus and do evangelism. And, you're empowered to be this innovator and you have permission to fail. Then you graduate. And then all of a sudden now your opportunities are come and serve in children's ministry or parking duty or be an usher. And if you're like a superstar Christian, come lead a small group, and in many churches, the opportunities for, a 22-year-old are limited. Mm-hmm. There aren't opportunities to preach or to lead worship, at least, very much. And I think that's one of the struggles, but I know I tasted something when I was 20 and 22 that really ruined me. In many respects, what we do in ministry has been so shaped by that season, and even our reach for family is what really started when I was 18 and 22 experiencing as a new believer.
Yeah, that's so true. I think the experience of what community can look like during college really sets a vision for beyond. And the other thing I was thinking of is how in the context of community, you begin to experience what it means to live both valuing relationships and other values. Like you begin to develop a value system that impacts how you're going to live, who you're going to be. But to one point you said about you lead ministries and you're part of, pursuing revival on campus, all of that. And then you graduate and you're directing parking lot stuff in church.
And not that that's not valid. We want to have a posture of
it's
humility.
It's just a slower speed.
We want to come into church community not to lead, mm-hmm. and not to have opportunity, but we want to come to really, how can I serve this church? But at the same time, there's things in your heart that you've been dreaming about for revival, and you've led Bible studies, mm-hmm. and, taught at large group meetings, and, somewhere in between there's this gap of what you got to do as a 22-year-old, mm-hmm. on campus. And then now afterwards, where do you find this holistic community? Because you go to work somewhere, you met people that you pursue the Lord with, and then you might have to go find some parachurch ministry to serve in the poor or serve other communities. And so we live these fragmented lives after college, and we almost don't know how to have these, holistic, communities that we experience in college.
Yeah. And I think with that, it's as if in college, the college years, we get a taste of something that we graduate. It may feel like it's gone or it's been pulled back. But looking back, it's like the things that I'm doing now were really initiated, like passions and desires and opportunities that were initiated in my college years, that maybe there was a lull, a disconnect, a fragmentation, like you said. But over the years, you begin to see how God begins weaving those things together.
Totally.
Someone reminded me recently of King David and how he was anointed king way before he became king. And there is a season of waiting and preparation and faithfulness that he had to go through. But he didn't go through it with the mindset of, someday I'm going to kill Goliath, so I need to do this well. Mm-hmm. He just stayed steady with what was in front of him. And that really built him up to take over, and not take over, but to lead as king in the future. So someone reminded me of that. And I was like, that is so true of our college years. Like, it's the faithfulness, the enduring, the steady commitments that we keep, and the character that we're building that leads us to where we're going.
Yeah. I think for most of us, our years on campus, praying, believing God for revival, most of us won't have the story where we prayed and the Lord moved and we saw this massive move of God, thousands coming to Jesus. That's the minority story. But the majority of us, you know, get a vision for holiness, get a vision to pursue revival, get a vision to be wholehearted. And we really spend 4 years learning in obscurity, the mundane, the smallest. And that's really most of your 20s. Most people in their 20s aren't going to become millionaires, aren't going to have a startup that blows up and, you know, gets an IPO. Most of us don't experience major ministry achievements, life accolades. You know, we have these auspices of greatness, you know, that we think we will experience soon, but most of the time it's way later in life. And even for many of our stories, I mean, our lives are the stories of faithfulness and doing the right thing and having measures of impact, not necessarily these grandiose, you know, we're going to be Billy Graham's and change the world. You know, and that's kind of a hard wrestle, hard pill, because as a young person, you want to dream and have these big ambitions. But most of your 20s, I think, is more learning to do the right thing. You know, you're figuring out a lot of who you're not. And then you come in your 30s and you figure out a handful of things that you have a measure of aptitude, a measure of grace to do well.
Looking back, I would say for sure it is. For those that can afford it, and I say find ways where you can do it without it being $35,000 a year, you know? And I think that's something that growing up, there was just such this pressure. You have to go to a name brand school.
Harvard, Yale, Princeton.
Yeah, I just think there's so much that comes out of just doing a 4-year school or 2-year. That living, I would advocate too, just the experience you get living on campus and learning how to do friendships is so valuable. I think the only thing I would caution against, I just see a lot of college students who really don't know what they want to do yet, right? And their parents are paying a lot of money for them to do school, but there's no passion, there's no direction yet. And for that, in that case, it might be worth it to take some time to figure yourself out first before. I think there is value to jump into college kind of having some sort of vision.
Totally.
I think after 2 years, if you're still not sure, maybe you should take a break. Because otherwise, you go through 4 years, you have a degree that you never wanted.
Which I think they say like 50% of people don't use their degree. Or they're in a field other than what they majored in.
Yeah. So I just think there's value in having some sort of idea what you want to do.
That's true.
The same time, you don't need to really be locked in to it's this route for me. The Lord just moves and things change. It's hard. How do you tell an 18-year-old, hey, pick your occupation?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I would say yes to what you said, but also that there's aspects of life where the fact that you've received the degree and you've gone through the work of it alongside of all these other valuable experiences we've talked about. But the fact of having a degree matters.
For sure.
I think for me, it was like when I realized I'm called into full-time ministry, into missions, it was almost like the Lord just said, what do you want to study? The degree isn't as specific because it's going to open doors in the future. It's going to create opportunities in ways that maybe wouldn't have existed without.
As we wrap up today, And I'm thinking about all the students who are in the midst of college mm-hmm. or the high school graduates who are thinking about college. What's one thing that you would say to them in the midst of their wrestle of, do I finish college? Do I go to college? In this really just hard and uncertain season of COVID-19, what would you say to the young person who's wrestling right now?
This may not be in the direction you're thinking, but the first thing that's coming to my heart is to say to you that you have infinite value. You're delighted in no matter what you do. I think it's so easy to get caught up in finding identity through getting a degree, mm-hmm. through our success or what we're able to achieve in college. So I would just say you're loved as you are, and that the significance of knowing that will only give you more freedom to become who God is calling you to be.
Mm-hmm. That's good, Daniel. I needed to hear that too.
Right now and 20 years ago.
Yeah. I think one thing that comes to mind for me is, you know, because there's such uncertainty, you don't really have to rush to know what you're going to study. You don't have to rush to know, am I going to do classes online? That, you know, in the uncertainty, you can just pause. And that I wish, because, you know, after 2 years of college, I actually radically encountered the Lord and thought about switching schools to like Christian colleges. And I think it was so, there was so much pressure to choose, right? That I think it's okay to take the time to figure out what you want to do. And, you know, the sad thing is there's probably people with real interest and passions, but if you're anything like me and my family, if it's hard to go take that route if they don't mm-hmm. equate to well-paying jobs, like studying history doesn't mean job security, you know? And so college is so tied to job security afterwards, where I just think there's freedom. If there's really things that interest you and they don't seem lucrative, I think it's worth exploring and having those conversations with your parents, and who knows what can come out of it. It's better to study things that you really genuinely like rather than they make you a lot of money and there's job security in it.
I would say to those students that, just like Carol said, there's no rush to choose the right path. When I was a student or a high school student and college student, I was so stuck on what is God's will for my life? What is best for me? And I didn't know, and it wasn't clear. And so I would get stuck in the fear of missing what God had, or the fear of missing what was best for me. So I think I would say that there's less importance in what is the best or what exactly is God's will, but there's more value in how you walk out that journey. Will you be steady in your studies if you go back to school? Will you be faithful in your job if you go to work? Will you be faithful to your family if they need support right now? Or will you pursue something totally new with boldness and courage and finish strong in that? So I think it's less about what you should do and more about the posture of your heart as you do it. Maybe this is a great time for a gap year.
Right.
You know, I loved going from high school to working with a missions organization because I got to travel all over the place and learn things that I could do and what I couldn't do. And it helped set me up for university, I think, in a new way, where I came more aware of myself and what I should do. But I just think we need to pull back and not focus so much on the answer to the questions of the direction and what our options are, and focus more on how am I going to walk and pursue what's next? Am I going to be faithful? Am I going to stay steady? Am I going to serve well in this? So
it's great. Yeah. I don't know if there's an easy pathway forward. I think for everybody right now, there's just so much uncertainty as to what life will be like in the coming months, in the coming, you know, fall semester. But I think one thing that we know is amidst all the uncertainty that God is the one that's not uncertain. And I appreciate what Angela said, because I think really, you know, amidst all that we don't know, we do have an opportunity to really go deep in the Lord, to really go to the place beyond the questions of what am I going to do with my life? Mm-hmm. What is college going to be like? We have the opportunity to really just pause. And when it's a gap year or a summer, or really just, you know, moving forward with slowness and not making these long plans and saying, Lord, I want to maximize this moment to really go deep in you, to really have a vibrant heart, to really be in the Word, to really invest in my family. And that this time would not be merely one where we're just plowing ahead and making things happen and doing things out of obligation and duty, you know, that we would take, because we probably won't get this moment back. I mean, I imagine that this won't always be this way, but that in this moment that we really can, you know, invest this time to having a season of reset, of to going back to the things that matter, to really asking just deep and systemic questions about what's significant, what matters, what's the focus of my life. And I just trust that the Lord will lead you. The Lord will lead each person in their assignment, in their season, gap year, or going back to college, or really, you know, like doing something different, mm-hmm. like going overseas. So this was an awesome conversation, guys. Thanks for bringing your stories and your experience as 30 some odd, 40 some odds, and really sharing with the next generation.
I'm stirred to go back to college again.
Yeah, let's go do back. It again. Let's go right, do guys. It again together.
Back yes. to school.
Come yeah. on. Man, all if right. I could have gone to university with you guys.
Love you all. Bless you. Catch you next time on the next episode of Revivalist Family Podcast.